Some are definitely ill, battling pain and illness and all sorts of things like that. Sure is wonderful to see you, though. It's not as wonderful for you to see me, but I do enjoy seeing you here. Okay. Everybody have your Bibles handy? Handy meaning have them in your hands. Then I'll tell you where our text will be. A couple of texts. I have a Facebook friend. I've never met him. He lives in Ohio. Never met him person to person, but have communicated with him on messaging, and I do watch his... He's so prolific. He's an ADD individual, so he puts a lot of posts on Facebook. He's an evangelist in Ohio, okay? And here's what he wrote this week. I want to exhort my fellow preachers that are out there as we, quote, approach the pulpit this Sunday, preach the Bible, the Word of God, and nothing else. Should your personal views regarding the, quote, gun debate find their way into your sermon notes, please reconsider. Unite the flock under the umbrella of God's eternal truths and not America's social issues, unquote. And then, as is the case with most of his posts, a bunch of people get a thread going. There's all sorts of discussions. Because he is a good thinker, and he posts some thought-provoking things. And I agree with that. I have no intention of discussing the gun control debate or the Second Amendment, although I am firm believer in our Constitution and all that. I agree with them on that. The sentence, unite the flock under the umbrella of God's eternal truths and not America's social issues, I might modify that by saying something like, eternal truths from God provides the answers and solutions to many of America's social issues. God provides direction to mankind whom he loves. If they will accept his direction, he provides solutions and answers and directions for individuals and for individuals who get together as a husband and a wife and for single people and for families and for communities and for church families in a local location and governments and all of that together. If people choose to follow his recipes, his direction, will make for a better society, if you want to use that word, a blessed society. So they are tied in together. Now, my talk today was originally going to be titled Three Common Idols in Churches. But I wanted to go ahead and address this event that happened in Parkland, sadly, this past week, while the iron is hot. And as I said, my motive is to exhort us not to be deceived by worldly wisdom. We live on the left coast. If you look at a map, we are on the left, but we are also on the left coast politically and, you might say, religiously. Literally and figuratively, we are on the left coast. And some areas of the nation are more anti-God than others, and my opinion is we are in the more than areas, anti-God. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? That's 1 Corinthians 5:6. And the context there is a local church. But there's principles there in regards to communities and nations. and cultures. That principle is still exists in our culture. When our culture no longer respects and no longer loves and listens to the voice of the Lord, he is replaced by alternative false religions. You know, the cry is, we need to be progressive in our thinking. Set aside those ancient, old, antiquated thoughts and modes of thinking and be progressive in your thinking. And we see that exuded in our lower education system and especially in the higher education system, correct? Colleges and universities and all that, and even outside of that. Brethren, the truth is progressive thinking is actually digressive thinking. And it's destructive. It leads to destructive action. It's caustic. When a mass murder rattles a nation like it did this past week, and I realize there's been ones previous to that, Las Vegas and so on, the list is growing, sadly. But when a mass murder like that rattles the nation, the left, the middle, politically and religiously, and some on the right, and the majority of the media immediately activate the blame game, and they rush to solutions. They try somewhere in there to figure out the problem, but they rush to the solutions. And seeking solutions is not a bad thing, but the misconception of the root cause, not understanding the root cause, leads to bad, ineffective solutions. Now, the root cause of something like this, a mass murder, I believe the answer is found in one place. And there's our question, what is the root cause? There's where I'd ask you, invite you to turn to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I know there's a context, but I'm going to drop in on verse 21. Romans 1, 21 and 25 up there. And I know it's past tense, and I know he's referring in general to the Gentiles, but here's principles here that throughout the ages, generation after generation, age after age, decade after decade, we find human beings following, sadly, following this pattern. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Why is that? Drop down to 25, 4. And here's the progressive. If you want to talk about progressive thinking, here's where it leads. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. There's the problem, isn't it? This, I will use my father-in-law as an example of one whose great concern centered on this chapter. He was very concerned about what he saw, not only in the public school situation and atmosphere, which I think a lot of people associated him with that, but he was very concerned about what goes on in families, and especially in God's families, and constantly encouraging people to not drop the ball on teaching their children about God. He understood that generation after generation, if they are taught the premise that there is no God and the Bible is a myth, it's going to create a false perception. You know what that false perception is? No accountability. Right? Evil decisions are going to lead to bad consequences. No accountability is the idea, I'll do what I want. I'm not responsible for my actions. And therefore, I don't care about you. Really, that's what it gets down to. I just care about me. You know what, brethren? In the absence of divine authority and a loving God, in the absence of a moral standard, in the absence of a godly person, there is no reason to criticize this guy that shot those 17 people this past week. He felt like doing it. You go ahead and do it. People get in your way. You're angry for some reason. Don't like what somebody said. Take them out. If there is no God, there's no moral compass, then it makes sense. In their minds, it doesn't make sense to you and me, because we are being taught by God, hopefully, and we understand that there is a moral standard. Dumping God, which we can see in America and all over the world, dumping God means you're going to be left with trash. You understand that one? We set God and put Him aside and set aside His moral standard and His revelation to mankind. What are we going to do? What are we going to put in His place? Another religion. We're religious no matter which way we go. All that means is being devoted to someone or something. So when you dump God, you're going to be left with the trash. Notice what trash we're left with. Romans 1:28. Drop down to verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder. Did you catch that word? Murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. I like this quote from Matt Walsh. He's a great blogger. He's a good writer. This is in one of his books. A culture of sin becomes a culture of death. Think about that for a little bit. Example, and this is an example he would use in his book. If there's no regard for the sanctity of marriage, the way God looks at marriage, between a man and a woman, that leads eventually to disregard for human life in the womb. In other words, the concept of abortion becomes a religion of convenience. Not to mention the side effects of not regarding marriage properly. It is a breakdown of the fundamental gluing of a nation together, and that's the family. When we engage in all sorts of, as a nation, sexual immorality, breaks down the family. When there's no regard for life in general, then eventually a culture is going to get to the point where it's okay to eliminate the elderly when they get in the way or when they're a burden. To eliminate the vulnerable. To eliminate those with mental and physical challenges. And therefore, euthanasia becomes a religion of convenience. A culture of sin most definitely leads to a culture of death. This is where we turn our attention to the concept of incubation. Those of you who have hens, like we do, we had 30 of them up on Friday Creek. In Burlington, we have just four. We have a couple of Australorps. That's a weird name, isn't it? Nice black hen. Sometimes they get broody, meaning they like to sit on the eggs, not realizing they're not fertilized, and they will not hatch. But it's fun to go in there and with not try to get pecked when they're broody. Get your hand in there, or I've got a little little forked thing that I push them away and reach under there, and the egg is nice and warm. Put it on your cheek, nice warm egg. That is a real live feathered incubator right there. That's what they were designed for. That's what they do, is incubate. Some of you might think of incubation as a baby in this equipment who's weak, sickly, and needs to be helped along in those first few weeks. This is another form of incubation, some kind of a culture that's brewing and stewing in there in this incubator in these bottles. That's the idea of incubation, to maintain something as an embryo or a chemically active system under conditions favorable for hatching or development or reaction. There's your dictionary definition. To cause or aid the development of. And it can be the idea of incubating an idea, which is kind of where we're going with that today. Consider this horrible behavior that we're talking about this week. Unfortunately, we begin to look in the wrong place when we start talking about solutions to that. Let me quote another Facebook friend who is not a believer. The first one was, he's an evangelist. This one is not, I used to work with him. He's not a believer, and he posted this week. And I quote, "Another mass shooting at a school with more thoughts and prayers following it up from U.S. politicians. Either you're doing it wrong," and he's directing that to U.S. politicians, I think, "you're doing it wrong, or your God, small g, isn't listening. It's time for action." Now, can we agree with some of that? Yeah, it is time for action. But that action should have started a long time ago. Either you're doing it wrong or your God, I focused in on your God isn't listening. And my response was, you're right about God not listening. We've shoved him out of every aspect of our society. And when I use the word God, I use large G. He used small g. And he responded that very kindly. We had a very amiable conversation there, and he described himself as not a man of faith. And then he said, "I believe," use the word believe, I believe I'm a good man. And I didn't go down that direction. I noticed another friend of his posted on that same thread is a female. And it jumped out at me. She says, "I watched a woman of faith," and I take that to mean on television, "say something very profound about this yesterday. She explained that God does not do these things, as he is not evil. God gave mankind choices when he created us. These people who do these horrible, unforgivable things made a choice to be evil. God is everything good." Now, you and I might reword that a little bit, but that actually is truth. She's actually summarizing truth. The bottom line here is evil exists, right? That's the bottom line. And that's what we need to remind and teach our children and grandchildren. There will always be injustice, abuse, ugly behavior, people hurting people. But what we need to remind our children of and impress upon them in order to give them security and direction is things that, I just noticed today that Megan had been thinking this along the same line, Megan Kramer, and I wanted to quote from her just a little bit, because she words it very well. Continue reading. The more we muddy our moral compass, the further we get from God and His light, and the deeper we drown ourselves in the darkness. Raising our kids in God's light, love, and acceptance, I believe, is the key to putting a stop to these horrific crimes that are being committed each and every day in this country and around the world. And I say amen to that. She's hitting the root cause here, that God has been pushed and shoved out of our culture, individual lives, family lives, and therefore that's why we're seeing a lot of the problems that we're seeing. That we need to recognize, folks, the source of this incubation. Where is the incubator? Turn with me to Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 15, we're jumping into context here. Jesus is concluding, for out of the heart, there's the incubator, right? There's what does the incubation. What hatches out of the heart? Well, sometimes it can be this. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. Boy, and we see that, don't we? It's everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. Parents, what are you planting in the hearts of your children? And grandparents, if you're involved and have influence on your grandchildren, what are you planting in the hearts of your children? We could go to Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. And it lists some wonderful things to think about. How about Psalm 101, verse 3? I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fashion its grip on me. I shall set no worthless thing before my eyes. Do you ever really stop to think about things that we could set before our eyes that are worthless? Daniel, do you have anything that comes to mind? I'm putting you on the spot. Most movies. Yeah, anything else? TV? These are the common things we think about, and we kind of take the broom and shove them under the bed, thinking, oh, well, no, I'm not affected by that. I've fallen into that trap. Books, movies, TV, other people's ideas and language. I will set no vile thing before my eyes. Because what goes in, is there a saying, the eyes are the window to the heart? And so are the other senses, to the soul. Yeah. And so what goes in there through what we see and what we hear gets into the mind. We stew on that enough, incubate it long enough, it's bound to affect our behavior. And I know that is poo-poo too, especially by modern philosophy. But I tell you what, folks, ask yourselves, are you instilling the passion and the desire and the humility and the willingness to do what's right in God's eyes, in your own life and in your children's life, in those whom you have influence, in your circle of influence? Quoting on the backside of the Family News, look down at the middle there. A Bible Bite. That paragraph says, standards matter. Standards matter. Without them, we descend into chaos. The truth of what is right and wrong, for example, ethical standards, must be common and absolute. Without ethical standards, marriages, families, relationships, and nations fall apart. Exactly like what we are seeing. Amen. So folks, brethren, this is a fact that's evident not only in the huge significant aspects of our lives, like what he mentions here, marriages, families, relationships, but even down in the little things in everyday life. Most of you who were parents, are parents, will be parents, will teach these principles even in the little things everyday things of life, that there's a right way to do something and there's a wrong way to do something. Some cases, many wrong ways to do something. This is a vivid illustration of the wrong way to do something. That's a guy with a chainsaw. He's starting a chainsaw. Now, I know this is just posed. Here's the cord. So we laugh at that, or some of you probably think that's inappropriate. I decided to put it in here because it's a vivid illustration of the wrong way to do something. Are you catching it? This is the chainsaw blade down here. Right? That is the wrong way to do something. There will be terrible consequences. And we laugh at that, but just think about things in life. You know, we've made decisions that produce terrible consequences, right? Because we didn't think it through, or we didn't use God's wisdom, or didn't pray about it. Seek what is right. Seek the truth. Live by God's loving standards. He gives these standards to us for a reason. And they benefit us. I'll go back to that quote. My friend said, either you're doing it wrong or your God isn't listening. He's blaming politicians. Politicians doing it wrong. And my response to that would be, correct. Government is doing it wrong. You know why? They're not rewarding the righteous and punishing the evildoer. Sometime read 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11, and Romans 13, 3 through 4. That is the reactive approach, but it works. Because God prescribed it. If it's carried out swiftly and consistently, then it becomes a deterrent when governments reward the righteous and punish the evildoer. But when sentences are put off so long or not even carried out, not even appropriate to the crime, then there is no teeth in the law, correct? Sometimes read those two passages and understand that government does have a responsibility in all this, but the root cause has been what we've been talking about, and that's leaving God out of the picture. So the proactive approach is asking the question, what can be done about these mass murders like what we saw in Florida or what we see in Las Vegas? What can be done? Number one, recognize the root problem. Mankind has rejected life and has chosen death. How have they done that? By embracing sin and abandoning righteousness. Brethren, the fact is that we can eliminate the tools that lead to murder, whether it's a baseball bat or a knife or a gun or a hammer. All those things that people have used to murder one another, we can get rid of all those things and evil hearts will still exist. You know, we get laughed at when we say that if Carm said, well, I've never seen a gun or a knife get up all by itself and kill anybody. And the world laughs at that. But that's right. They don't. It's the human. It's the failure of mankind. It's the evil heart. The one who does not have love in his or her heart. And I know you all realize that, but we need to continue to pass these principles down. I tell you what, like Megan noted in her post, people talk about, this fella maybe had anger issues or bad family life or mental health issues. There's another one. Anger, mental health, bad family life, mental illness. Yeah, those could be involved, but it still gets back to a lack of love for God and God's love for that individual. A lack of respect for a higher being. No purpose in life. will lead, you say, even to mental illness? Yeah, in most cases, even to mental illness. Not every case, but in most cases. Fill your hearts with God, brethren, and the love of God, and the Spirit of God, and the voice of God, and the holiness of God. The war is absolutely real, and evil exists all the way back to Adam and Eve. And consequences of evil cause suffering, and they cause pain, and they cause heartache, even among the innocent. So take comfort in His presence, and trust Him. Turn with me to Psalm 46. We're going to close with Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. If you trust Him, and first of all, believe in Him that He exists, through its waters roar and foam, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations He has brought on earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. That's the kind of God you serve, brethren. He says, be still and know that I am God. Amen? I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob. Is our fortress. Let's stand and sing. Please.
Let's sing number 110 in the white books. Number 110.
At this time, let's give thanks to God for all he has given us. Dear Lord, we come to you thanking you for the many blessings you've given us. We are forever grateful for the opportunity we get each and every week to come gather with you, the jobs that you've given us, and all those blessings they entail. With that, we hope that we will be able to give back part of what you've given us so we may further spread your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Songs in the front of this, and there are a lot that are very appropriate to this message this morning, but I don't know them very well. So one I do know is number 19, which is upside down 61. I'm not sure how that happened. Number 19, teach me thy way, O Lord. And we're just going to sing the two verses marked with a little circle, 1 and 4. So number 19, verses 1 and 4.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, come to you now to thank you for the word that you've given us. We ask that you guide, direct us through the week. We ask that you be with those who are sick. Help us to understand the sickness and help to make them feel better if possible. Father, we ask that you guide us through the week and keep us safe until next week. We come back to learn more of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's good to see you today because we do have a lot that are not here. Some of us made it through the snow and some evidently could not make it here because of the snow or whatever. Some are ill and be sure and pick up a family news. There's some things in there that I'll not mention. But good to have each one of you here. I know that You could see I was sitting by myself there because Maybeth's been fighting a cold. Pat Bass, as I mentioned here, has been having a problem with a leg, and she's hadn't got satisfaction last week from her, the doctor she went to, so she has a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Hopefully she can find out what's going on there. But especially I would encourage you to remember Kelly. She has been off medication because of her upcoming surgery on Tuesday, and has been in very much pain with, particularly in her wrist, but in pain because of the lack of the what medication she's been on. So keep her in your prayers until Tuesday, and certainly while that surgery is going on. We remind you of the congregational meeting, March the 18th. In the meantime, we'll be looking at the selections that have been made for elders and deacons, and we haven't decided it yet because we haven't looked at the names and so on as to when we'll let you know who will be put forward for you to consider and evaluate whether or not they have the characteristics for those works. And is there something else that I need to, that we need to bring up? And it looks like it might be a little bit of sunshine out there, so maybe the snow's not going to last, or it's already gone. I know on my way in today, I saw two cars go around like this on the freeway or on the highway. And so maybe we'll be careful on your way home. Carm?
Samantha's visiting Marion and Hardy down at Harding right now, so she's flying back tomorrow evening.
Somebody's been down visiting Marion and Harding? Okay. Good to have you fellas back from Hawaii. You're all right now, Regina? You were sick when you got back. Looks like you're here today. That's good. Anything else? Have a good afternoon and God bless.